Nation, it was announced that the European Union has agreed a free trade agreement with Australia that is expected to be worth $10 billion, which will see the removal of trade barriers on food, wine, cars and fashion goods. I asked Professor Felicity Dean of Queensland University of Technology what sectors from the Australian economy are expected to gain the most from this agreement.
It was 8 years in the making and it was set aside in 2023. I remember seeing at the time when it was set aside and I thought, well, that's interesting. There are a few non-negotiables that were sticking points. In this new agreement, there's been some fact sheets released and various bits and pieces, but no full agreement yet. So we don't have all the wording yet, but that's okay because we can see the key products. We've got some agricultural products, of course. Beef is listed in there. There's always been quite a low quota on Australian beef being imported into the EU, so that's been increased, but it's to be staggered over a period of time. Sheep meat, sugar as well, some dairy products, and rice. Then we've got the elimination of some tariffs on wine, and there's a few other bits and pieces of agricultural products. There's also discussion of the critical minerals. And when we start to look at the service sector, apparently there's going to be some mutual recognition of professional qualifications, but this could take a little while to happen.
There's already been some critical voices of the agreement, including the National Party leader, Matt Canavan, and National Farmers Federation. Is this just because Australia finds it's really hard to negotiate against a more protectionist European agricultural sector?
Yeah, well, look, I'd say that the quotas that they've achieved have been a win, but I believe that they were asking for higher quotas. I haven't had a look at the criticisms from the NFF, but I do know they were highly critical of the barriers to trade in the EU prior to this, and it's going to take some time. Like, these quotas, it was an eightfold increase of beef, but that's not for another 10 years until that's fully implemented. So I dare say they may not be super pleased with that. Of course, Australian beef has been selling quite well in a number of markets. It's potentially a win over time, but maybe not exactly what they were asking for. And so that could be some of the criticism. I think there's also been some criticism about the labelling, but I don't think that criticism would be coming from the National Farmers Federation.
And the agreement also will mean that Australia is going to include an exemption to the luxury car tax vehicles under $120,000. Would this?
Yeah. I thought that was interesting. I read a very good article in The Conversation today that did mention that, and I have to agree with the author. I'm just making sure. So Hazel Moore from the ANU is the author of that article, and she noted that what was that all about? Because the luxury car tax is really about making sure that people can afford cars with a value of above a certain amount, actually just contribute to the tax revenues. It's a bit of a progressive form of taxation. That's been eliminated for cars under 120,000 when they are zero emissions vehicles. I'm sure there's plenty of people out there that want to buy a nice zero emissions Mercedes or other car that will be very pleased about that.
Also, this follows on in the footsteps of the India-EU Free Trade Agreement, which was signed in January this year. Would it be fair to say that the volatility of US trade policy with the ad hoc imposition of tariffs has really given a real impetus to this agreement?
It's certainly my theory, Stephen. I think that it's encouraged these nations to really get certainty in other areas of trade because they're dealing with so much chaos when it comes to the United States. It's hard to know what's going to happen there from one month to the next. We've certainly been through quite a volatile year when we've seen US trade policy. And so I sort of to support this certainty in trade agreements. You know, this is going to be a very complex legal agreement. It shows how much detail goes into making trade deals, certainly not something that you can come up with over a period of a week and a handshake. And this is really giving a nod to the rules-based order and saying, look, we believe in fair trade. We believe in sticking to international trade rules. And here's an agreement that really demonstrates that.
Professor Felicity Dean of Queensland University of Technology, Faculty of Business and Law, speaking to Stephen Hill.